All right. So I'm going to be talking about the epidemiology of the outbreak. And so for people who are used to seeing epidemiology talks at the conference, I'm going to warn you, I don't have stacks and stacks of slides. So if you're looking forward to graphs of how many left-handed people are and that sort of thing, then you're not going to see it. So I do have data, obviously, but a lot of it's going to be, I guess, an overview and really to set the scene for the speakers to come. So just to start off, so the data I'm presenting is what is reported by the jurisdictions, and then it's collated by the Commonwealth Office of Health Protection. And I think it's important to just bear in mind the case definition when we go through, so I know it gets a little bit technical, but I think that is important in interpreting how we're counting these cases. So the first thing is that obviously it has to meet the case definition of infectious syphilis, so that's what we're counting. But the second thing is, to be counted as an outbreak case, you have to be an Aboriginal person and you have to be residing in what we call a declared outbreak area. So that's like a geographical area that the health department says, okay, this is where an outbreak is. And the second type of case that we count separately is a sexual contact of an outbreak case. So that doesn't necessarily have to be within that area and it doesn't have to be an Aboriginal person. And just, I guess, throughout the whole thing, that if you want to see what's going on at any time, the Commonwealth Department has maintained this syphilis outbreak website very well, and all of the data is there. And I think Lucas was saying that the mapping stuff that really shows you where this is happening is about to go up there as well. So basically everything will be there. So just start with just basically going through the geography, and apologies, a lot of this many people have seen before, but I thought it was important to set the scene for the conversation to come. So the outbreak started 2011, which is obviously now 8 years ago. And it started somewhere in the Gulf region. I don't think we obviously know exactly where it started, but certainly that was where the increase in cases was first detected. And then it spread, and so each one of these slides coming up is an additional year. And it's the number of cases in that sort of geographical area for that year. And so I guess what you can see as it spreads along is that it just expands, and it expands reasonably contiguously. And it expands until we get to 2019, where it's pretty much covering, and my understanding is there's some areas that may be added to this. It's pretty much covering the areas where we would say there has historically been high rates of STIs. So it hasn't really extended beyond that as yet. But I guess my take on that is, the conditions are there for endemic or high rates of endemic spread of STIs, and that's where it's gone. But the other thing to note is we track this nationally, and so we've got that's the total number of cases now. And we've got the epi curve nationally showing this, but really, it's really made up of a whole bunch of little areas, little communities where there is an increase in cases and local transmission. And then you can see from the colours in those graphs that it sort of died out in that area and spread to a new area. And so while we do track it nationally, and that's what my talk's about, really, the transmission, the response, and how it's all working is happening in these small communities. And I think we have to bear that in mind in how we look at how we respond to it. So that's the total cases. The colours are by state there, and you can see that it it's obviously tracked up and it's stabilised off. Hopefully that's due to the increased testing that we've put in place, and hopefully it will track down. But obviously we don't know yet. But the unfortunate thing is, even in the states that were early on, they're still seeing high numbers of cases. And so the total number of cases reported to date was 2,863. And I guess this is a little aside. So I was recently at an international conference, and there was a European paper where they'd sort of analysed global outbreaks and how to respond to them and things. And I just happened to notice that in their list of global outbreaks, there was none above 1,500 cases, and yet we've got 2,800 cases now. So I guess that means, are we the biggest outbreak in the world? you know, being the biggest is often good, but in this situation, it's obviously not a good thing. Other little thing is they'd in that paper, they'd actually separated out Queensland from Australia, and I'm pretty sure Queensland's still in Australia. And that was pre-federal election, so I'm not sure. All right, so hopefully that projects okay. So this is a bit of a breakdown of the cases, just to highlight a couple of things. So, some of this is fairly obvious, but I thought I need to say it. So the breakdown is very much male and female evenly spread. This is a predominantly heterosexual outbreak that's occurring. Obviously, there is some degree of overlap with the MSM outbreak as we get into the urban areas, but that's not really been a thing overall. So the other thing is that it's predominantly been affecting a group of young people, and that has changed over time, as you would expect. And so as the outbreak evolves in any one geographical area, there has been a tendency for older people to start to become affected as transmission spread. Although I think Arun may come on to some suggestion that maybe that's not going to persist in that way as younger people come into the cohort. And the other thing, obviously, that's getting a lot of focus on it is the congenital cases. So obviously that's, I think Donna mentioned in a presentation earlier in the week, that's really the key focus is on preventing the congenital cases. And there's been a lot of effort into increasing the testing rate, which will, you know, in all likelihood, decrease the risk of any one case having a congenital syphilis outcome. However, I think we also all recognise that the uptake in antenatal care and infections between the testing periods means that unless we can get this incredibly high rate of infection under control, that we're just going to have to get used to seeing more and more congenital syphilis cases. So the second thing just to note briefly is this idea of category two cases. So category two cases, like remember from the first slide, so these are cases where they're sexual contacts, but they obviously don't meet the rest of the CAFE definition. So they can't be an Aboriginal person living in a declared outbreak area. And so the numbers are tiny, right? And you're looking at 2,800 cases, and here we've got, you know, a handful of category Q cases. So there's two ways of looking at that. So this is a very concentrated outbreak occurring in a very defined group, and I think that is, in a large part, is happening. But the other thing, and this is probably highlighting that contact tracing is not working that well, and that's one of the main ways of responding to an increase in cases of STIs is around better contact tracing, but it's just really hard to do it in this context. So in summary, I guess, so what we've got is a very large outbreak, and it's affecting mainly young, heterosexual, Aboriginal people in the remote areas of Australia, and that although there has been some, you know, decline in case numbers in the areas as it's expanded across the country, really in all the areas, it's not gone back to pre-outbreak levels, and that it is stabilising, whether it's like completely flat or slowly going up or slowly going down, it's hard to tell at the moment, but it's definitely stabilising at what we would call a hyper-endemic rate. So that means that the infection is chronically persistent within that community at very high rates. And the other thing is that it is definitely continuing to expand in areas. So as each month goes past, there has been, well, maybe not month, but certainly regularly, another area has noticed, well, we've got more cases of syphilis, which I guess as it comes along is something that we're going to have to reflect on is really how we think about this. So I'm often asked, is this an outbreak? And I guess, you know, there's not an easy answer to that question. However, if you look at most guidelines, they'll define an outbreak as an increase in the number of cases in a defined population or geographical area above what you would expect. And that is certainly what's happened here. And it has behaved as a propagating outbreak in the sense of it is spread outwards in a, you know, continuous way. It hasn't just jumped from one place to the other. So I think it is an outbreak, but that doesn't immediately lead to what we need to do. So I think as it has evolved now to 8 years later, I think we do need to reflect on what can we do to respond to this, to both look at the new areas and how we can rapidly respond and reduce the outbreak, but secondly,
deal with these ongoing, extremely high rates of disease in the affected communities through better access to clinical care. And that's it.